Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, that's still a wonderful, wonderful sentiment. God bless America.
Amen.
You know, we've got many things wrong in our nation, and we know it. We're praying about it. We're doing what we can to change it. But if we weren't the best place in the world to live, people wouldn't be swimming, crawling, doing whatever they can to get across the border to get in America. Any of y'all plan on going out today and try to climb into a prison? Not a chance. But someplace nice, you may go. God bless America. We're so glad that you're here this morning to worship the Lord together. It's good to be in God's house as we celebrate the birth of our nation. Had a good Bible school this week. And I'll let Rita say something about that here in a few moments. Brother Leonard is off ministering elsewhere this morning, so pray for him and the group that he's ministering with, people that are hearing his ministry. But we're glad you're here. If you're listening in the parking lot, or if you're listening later on the website, so glad that you're a part of the fellowship today at Barbie's Grove. Let me pray. Father, as we bow before you today, so grateful to be an American, to live in this nation, to have the freedoms that we have. Father, we're thankful for those over the centuries who established this nation, who fought for this nation, those who are still fighting. And Father, we pray that you truly bless America. We pray that the Holy Spirit will bring revival to America. We pray that we Christians will live in such a way that there will be a godly influence on this nation. Father, we remember that God said if there were 10 righteous people in Sodom, he would spare that city. Lord, we pray that there be such a righteousness among the believers in America that this nation might be spared. Lord, now in this service, may you speak to our hearts. May we have ears to hear, hearts to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you know, the first thing we usually do on first Sunday of the month is do birthdays. And so since Brother Leonard isn't here, that's fallen to me. Sue Barbie, July the 6th. Kenny Linker, July the 10th. Vivian Austin, July the 19th. Evan Howard, July the 20th. Andon Hartzell, July the 20th. Nell Jackman, July the 31st. And Lori Keplinger, July the 31st. And the anniversaries for July, Leonard and Donna Harville, July the 2nd. So keep all of those in mind. And Miss Tonda's going to lead us in singing Happy Birthday. First song?
Yes. Okay. So happy to see each one of you this morning. And if you looked at your bulletin and saw God Bless America, page 630, we thank Brenda for playing that for us. But 630 is America the Beautiful, which are both great songs. So we're going to stand together Jeff has got us keyed up for all four verses. He knew we don't like to leave any out. So let's join together and sing America the Beautiful.
Again, we welcome you here this morning, and as far as announcements, just remind you that on Wednesday nights, 6:30, we do prayer and Bible study. We started studying the miracles of Jesus. It's always interesting. We usually have some pretty good discussion from time to time, and we'd like to invite more of you to come and be a part of it. Well, you don't have to open your mouth if you don't want to. I'm not going to call on you to ask. Don't give any test when this class is over. But we just love for you to come and study God's Word with us. Had a good Bible school, and I'll let Rita say whatever she'd like to say about Bible school.
Well, our Bible school this year, Pets Unleashed, we had a really good time, but it is over for 2023. And I'll just like to say the signs are down. The kitchen is closed. So it's officially over. We did have a good time. Brenda, what was our total number that we had? I think it was like 30.
We had 34 and 13 children.
13 children and 34 total. So we had a good number here yesterday. It was a busy place, a lot of moving around, and a lot of fun. And I want to thank everybody for everything. Everybody that took a part in Bible school, it was phenomenal. It was so much fun, and I didn't see anybody that looked like they wasn't having a good time. I will say that probably Pastor Ed was the happiest person here yesterday because he didn't have to do a craft. But anyway, he brought this little Heidi over, and the kids got to pet her, and that was fun. But, you know, like I said, Bible school is over for the year, but you know, we just hope that it will carry on, even though we're not in classes or, you know, not learning right now. And we've been talking about in Sunday school about mentoring, you know, being that mentor. And we just pray that we planted a seed in some child. Even these 4 and 5 year olds, these little ones, they can go out and they can tell their little friends, you know, Jesus loves you. God loves you. God cares for us. And that was the theme of our Bible school this week. God cares for you. And they can do that. It's just so simple. And, you know, that can carry on. And, you know, even with them, they can be a mentor to their peers, even as young as they are. And we just hope that seed was planted this week in what we did here. We sang, we ate, we crafted. What else did we do? We played. Everything. And everybody that had a part, thank you so much.
Thank you. My 9-year-old was disappointed that she wanted to
be. What's that?
I said, my 9-year-old was really... 10, sorry. She's like, my 10-year-old, she was like, oh, we're not doing it again? And I'm like, oh, it's like, it was short this year. So
yes.
She was excited. She did it.
Yes. I remember when I was in Bible school, I thought I was three, but I remember when I was in Bible school, you know, we would go for a week, and all the kids were like, well, can we go another week? Let's do 2 weeks. And they were like, no. And for all of the workers, you know why. We don't go.
Yes.
But thank you all again.
Thank you.
Doesn't Rita look so much more relaxed than she did last week this time? Now, see, when I was in Bible school, we did a Saturday preparation. We'd get in the church bus and ride all over the community, and sometimes they'd get a fire truck to come lead us and all of that. And then we'd go 2 weeks. And then the next Sunday night, we'd do a commencement. And then all the kids had learned everything. You know, they had some criteria, and you had to learn all the memory cards and the joint order of service. They'd take us all up to Granite Lake and Granite Quarry, and we'd have a day together. So Bible school was about 3 weeks or more for us. And hey, I still wanted a couple more weeks. I didn't get cookies and Kool-Aid at home. All right. Any other announcements we need to make? Anything else? You see there about the CPR certification course. for those who need to renew or to get initial certification. There's a sign-up sheet. If you sign up, they'll fix out a date that can work for most everybody. Okay? Anything else? All right, you see the prayer request, a number of those in the bulletin. Are there other prayer requests that we need to add?
Family of Curtis Smith, and the family of Phil Sides.
Okay. All right. Who else? Anyone else?
I have one, the family of Gil Johnson.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Father, you're such an awesome God. We throw around a big word like omniscient, which just simply means that you know all things. Every person that's in that printed list, these that have been added, those that we have in our hearts that we didn't bother to or didn't feel free to mention. In your great knowledge and wisdom, you know every need. But Father, that knowledge wouldn't mean anything if you weren't all loving. And Father, we're so grateful that not only do you know about the need, but you love us enough to meet those needs. Father, you know who's hurting. You know families that have lost loved ones. Those that are in nursing homes. Those that are shut in at their homes. Those who are struggling financially or emotionally or spiritually. And Father, out of your great love, may the Holy Spirit go and minister to every person, every family. May at this very moment they feel an awareness of your presence. Just a warm glow that God loves me. God truly loves me. And that God's working in this situation to comfort me, to guide me, to heal me, to bless me. Thank you, Father, that no one is truly alone, but you're always with us. Father, you know the spiritual needs and the other needs of those gathered listening to this service today. Lord, we just open ourselves up. Come and minister to us out of your great love. And we thank you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so Kathy and I were looking at music, and we couldn't do God Bless America because they elected not to put that in our book. And we thought of God Bless the USA. That one never grows old. Lee Greenwood gave it to us years and years ago. Never grows old. So let's all stand together, do that as our praise and worship song this morning. You'll see it on all of your screens. And Kathy, please sing out with us because these allergies are beating me up. So y'all sing to me, please.
children. You're dismissed from children's church.
We had a song.
Oh, y'all going to sing?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I didn't know that.
We had such a great time. It only 5 minutes, Pastor, I promise. We had such a great time at vacation after school yesterday. We learned 3 songs, but we're going to do 2 for you today. And they talk about God is always with us and Jesus loves me. And we had the absolute best time. Okay. I'll spread out some of you. And stand up and up there too, okay? We had the best time with these precious children yesterday. The absolute best time. So they're going to sing for you today, and I'm going to try not to be in the way. But we have 2 songs, and so whenever y'all are ready, we're going to do the God is Always With Us first, and then Jesus Loves Me. And Mr. West was a big gift for the children yesterday. So
yes.
He was our movie director.
Well, Mr. Jeff was a big hit too.
Yes, he was the cooker.
Yes, and we thank him.
We had such a great time.
Yes.
If you weren't here, you missed a blessing, I'm telling you. All right. You ready?
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. as you guys are dismissed for children's church. All right, come on, give us a high five.
Yeah, you be the one.
I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me. If you follow me. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me.
Now, for some of us, if we twisted and jumped like that, first thing in the morning, we'd be having the chiropractor open his office. Oh, they were cute. Special, special, special. Love the enthusiasm and the joy of children. It's special. Thank you for leading the kids. Thank you for all of you that came and was a part of what took place this weekend. Now, if you came this morning expecting a July the 4th sermon, I'm sorry. That isn't what the Lord gave me. The Lord gave me something that I think we need to have as a follow-up to what I've preached the last month and to what Lionel shared in those lessons on the autopsy of a deceased church. Where do we go from now? We've laid before you, between the two of us, the needs, the situation of our church. But now what? I think many of you have been challenged about we need to do some things. And I'm not going to tell you what to do because, as I said earlier in a sermon, we need to be praying and saying not what the preacher says do, but what God says do. Because only the will of God is important. But what will be our response when we know the will of God? I can think of three or four different responses. And we're going to look at some, maybe an odd combination of scriptures to look at those responses. First, look at Jonah. Now, that's over there in the back of the Old Testament where your Bible pages are stuck together. Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and the first three verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah heard a clear word from God about God's will. And in Jonah's case, it was go preach to Nineveh. Well, quite frankly, Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. They were an evil people. They were against Israel. And it says Jonah went down and he bought a ticket on a boat going in the other direction. In other words, God said, go preach. And Jonah says, I'm not going. You can't make me go. I want nothing to do with what your will is, God. And that's one response we can have when God reveals his will for our church. Now, God, you can say that's your will, but I refuse to have any part of it. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't care what your will is, God. Here's my mind's made up. It's going to be my way, or I'm just not going to participate. How'd that work out for Jonah? Didn't work out too well, did it? It didn't work out too well. Well, a little bit later, Jonah did go to Nineveh. But he sure did it reluctantly. I think he probably, when he went through, yet 40 days and God's going to destroy you wicked people. I wonder if he just said, ha, 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 ha. I can't wait to see God destroy you. He went reluctantly. And then he got all bent out of shape when the Ninevites repented. And God forgave them. God spared them. You remember what he told God? God, I knew you'd do that. I knew you'd forgive these folks if they repented. God, why'd you do that? That's why I didn't want to come down and preach to them anyway, Lord. I didn't want to see them change. Now you see, he had a bad attitude all the way through. At first he refused, and then he went reluctantly, and then he was upset because they repented and God forgave them. But you know, even with his bad attitude, God used him. Sometimes the Lord almost has to drag us kicking and screaming into his will, but he still uses us. You remember in one of his letters, Paul says, some preach Christ sincerely, and some out of envy and jealousy, and they want to hurt me with their preaching. But Paul says, I don't care. As long as Jesus is preached, that's all that matters. Now, as we look at the future of our church, we can refuse the will of God. We can be reluctant to follow the will of God. Or we can not even enjoy the results when God's will is done. Now this morning, when Greg was teaching the Sunday school lesson, and he talked about Saul, who became Paul, when he got saved, not everybody was really accepting. And I told about in one of my churches where the biggest drug dealer in the county got saved and walked the aisle. Not everybody was really accepting of him. Not everybody was really excited to see him go through the baptism waters. But you know, he became a Sunday school teacher and a deacon and even chairman of the deacons as the years went by. Now, he was so guilty that he could have got 100 years in prison. But instead, he got about 7, ended up serving about 3, came out, and became a very godly man. Are we excited when God does change lives? Now, these are some of the responses we can give. Now, there's another response we can give, and let's go to 1 Kings 20. 1 Kings 20. 1 Kings 20. And let's see, verse 38. It's a whole acted out parable that this is described, and I won't get into all of the parable, but there's a phrase in here I want us to consider. 1 Kings 20, beginning at verse 38. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shalt thou life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. You see the deal? He's given an important prisoner to guard. But he says he got busy here and there. And suddenly his prisoner escaped. In other words, he got focused on things that were not important, and he missed the important thing. Now, I dare say that there are people that, after what I've preached and what Lionel has taught, have fantastic intentions on reaching our community for Jesus. But if we're not careful, we get busy here and there, and 3 years will pass, and we won't get it done. Now, I'm a list maker. So last night I sat down and made my list of things I want to do this week. Some of my, you know, really got to get done. And you know what the problem with that list is? A whole bunch of things on that list were on last week's list and the week before list. And a lot of those things, if I just do it one time, like there's a friend of mine whose wife died a couple of weeks ago, and I want to send him a sympathy card, but I want to type a letter to go with it because I want to reminisce about some things. I won't have to do that one time, but it's been on the list now for 3 weeks. It's so easy to get busy. Now, I was picking at Janice a while ago that I was going to tell everybody it was her fault. She writes such good books that when I get one, I sit down and I can't just read two chapters and then go back and do what I need to. I got to read the whole book. And before I know it, it's too late at night to call, or I'm too tired to type that letter or whatever. But no, it's not really Janice's fault. It's just one of those things where I can get busy doing this or that or the other and miss what else I need to be doing. Now, in this parable that this guy acts out because he's talking to the king, he said, I got busy and my prisoner escaped. Now, you and I can get busy doing good stuff or maybe not such good stuff. But if we're not careful, like I said, 3 years will pass and nothing will change in the life of our church. We need to be busy and put first things first. Not that other things aren't important, not that other things aren't. And everything has its own timing. You know, when I was about 27, some guys introduced me to golf. And I enjoyed it. But there came a time a few years later when I realized golf was taking time and money from my kids. And I put the golf bag into the closet and I didn't pull it out till my kids finished college and left on their own. Nothing wrong with golf, but it wasn't as important as my kids. There's a lot of things that are fun. A lot of things are enjoyable. But if they cause us to miss the will of God, we've got our priorities wrong. Now, I want us to look at another passage of Scripture. Go back a chapter to 1 Kings 19. Just out in my Bible, I just have to flip back one page. And the Lord's talking to Elijah the prophet. And in verse 16, he gives Elijah an assignment. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. So he gives Elijah the assignment, go anoint Elisha to replace you when you leave the earth. You need to be his mentor. You need to train him up to become the next prophet. Well, verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now that's a pretty big field. If they got 24 oxen out there plowing, 12 yoke, that'd be a pretty big field. 12 guys out there plowing. Of course, you're only doing one row at a time. Not like these big tractors with all the big plows behind them, but they're out there plowing. He throws his mantle over him, saying, in a sense, he's saying, come follow me. And guess what happened? And he left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave unto the people. They did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now it's one thing to say, God's called me to preach. You really mean it when you sell your tractor and your plows. I mean, that's what he did. Elijah says, you need to follow me. You're the next prophet. He didn't have a tractor, but he killed his oxen, took the wooden plow and the yoke and everything and started a fire, cooked the oxen, fed the neighbors. They had a barbecue. And then he went and followed. In other words, he said, and he did it, he does it basically immediately. Now you see, we can refuse the will of God. We can do the will of God reluctantly. We can get too busy to do the will of God. Or we can immediately do the will of God. Now here, Elisha, here, I'm immediately the will of God. Was that not the way of the disciples? Jesus sees Andrew and Peter, come follow me. It says they left their nets and their boat and followed him. James and John, same thing. Saw Matthew at the tax collector's booth, come follow me. He left his booth and went and followed Jesus. Now, folks, that's the right attitude. That, Lord, here's your will. I'm all in. I'm all in. And if this church is to grow and thrive, it's going to take some folks that are all in their ministry. And I'm praying that some of us will take the call of God seriously and be all in. Now, turn just a few pages to 2 Kings 2. And I find it really interesting here. And I'm going to read, 8 or 10 verses here, because I want you to get the picture of what's taking place. 2 Kings 2. Because Elisha knew if he was going to do the will of God, it was going to take all the power of God to do it. And it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided thither and hither, and so they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon thee. Now, folks, that's a little long, you know, that longer than I usually read, but did you get the picture? And if you get your Bible out and turn to the back to the maps, it wasn't a straight shot. They took a pretty long trip, and they weren't in some kind of Maserati or something going down the interstate at 90 miles an hour. They were walking. And he keeps saying, Okay, Elisha, you can stay here. No, I'm not staying here. And they go on to the next town. You can stay here. No, I'm not staying here. You can stay here. Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want twice the anointing that you have, because I've got to have your anointing if I'm going to do the will of God. I've got to have the power of God in my life if I'm going to do God's will. And I'm not going to be satisfied till I get it. I'm not stopping anywhere short. And sometimes there are people that miss out on the will of God and accomplishing all that God would have them to accomplish because they're willing to stop short of the goal. They're willing to try to serve the Lord in their own power. You remember Jesus said, You stay in Jerusalem till the power of the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. Then you'll be my witnesses. All power in heaven and earth is given up to me. You go in my power, and I'll go with you. Folks, the will of God can only be accomplished, really accomplished, in His power, not ours. We can work our fingers to the bone, so to speak, doing it our way, but only in the will of God, only in the will of God and the power of God will this church grow. I want us to look at one more passage of Scripture. And this one's in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Get into Greg's Sunday school lesson a little bit. And also get into what Rita shared a few moments ago. You know, your ministry may be spectacular. It may not. It may not. Look in the book of Acts, chapter 9. And we'll begin at verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, and proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down in the wall in a basket. You know, Paul gets saved. Immediately he goes to preaching the gospel. The Jews get really bent out of shape. Traitor, traitor, traitor. We thought you came here to kill Christians, not become one. And he was so powerful, he says he confounded them. They couldn't deal with his arguments. So they said, we got to kill him. We've got to kill him. And when it's known to Saul, it says some friends some fellow believers, put him in a basket. Some way or another, they leaned out a window, leaned over the wall, and they held the ropes, and they let him down to ground level, and he could flee for safety. Now, who were those guys that held the rope? What were the names? Doesn't say, does it? But how important was what they were doing? Who's in that basket? Half the New Testament. Churches all over the world that was known at that point. Multiple people saved. Lives still being affected 2,000 years later. Those guys that were holding those ropes were important because they were making the difference in the future of the Christian church. No, whether there's one of them, two of them, three of them, four of them, I don't know. But those guys holding those ropes mattered. And sometimes you and I, we're doing things, we're doing for people, for ministry, and we may not ever be known, but we're changing lives. Somebody yesterday at Bible school may have put a good word in the mind of the next Billy Graham or the next Lottie Moon. You don't know. Or maybe just somebody that's going to become a great mom, a great dad, great Christian. I think back, 70 years ago, I don't know how much good I've done in the last 60 years. Only the Lord knows how much has been wood, hay, and stubble, and how much of it's been gold and silver and precious gems. But I figure I've preached somewhere to 7,000 and 8,000 sermons, written 1,000 newsletters. And I think back 70 years ago, those men, those women that taught me in Bible school, if I've accomplished anything any good, they get a credit for it. As I joked earlier, I didn't get cookies and grape Kool-Aid, a cherry Kool-Aid at home. Those little ladies that brought those to our classroom every night, bless them. Bless them. Because they had a part. Sometimes we have no idea that we're holding the rope for somebody that's important in the kingdom of God and will become vital to the kingdom of God. Never discount and say, well, what I did yesterday at Bible school wasn't that big a deal. You don't know, and only in eternity will you know. You take these kids back there and lead them in songs. You teach them in Sunday school. You help them in children's church. You have no clue at this point. Somebody holding the ropes made a difference in Paul's life and made a tremendous difference in the life of the Christian church forever. And all over the world. Paul could have died, but somebody holding the ropes made a difference. You are important in the kingdom of God. You can resist the will of God, refuse to do it. You can do it reluctantly. You can get busy and get distracted and miss out. You can be totally sold out to do the will of God. It's your choice, my choice. But just always remember, There's nothing unimportant when you're serving the Lord. There's nothing unimportant. You never know whose life you're changing, whose future you're changing. Be willing to serve with all that you are, knowing my gifts are given to me by the Spirit of God. My opportunities are given to me by the Lord. And as I use them for His glory, as I walk in His will, as I walk in His will, He's going to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in this church. And the choice is yours and mine. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If there's someone that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you just walk down the aisle at this moment and do it? If you need to come to the altar, we invite you to come. Be grateful that God used you Sunday after Sunday in Sunday school and children's church and with the choirs. Be thankful that the Lord used you for Bible school. Be thankful that it doesn't have to be spectacular. It doesn't have to be here behind the pulpit. Be thankful that you can hold the rope and make a difference in somebody's life. Would you make a commitment where you are now, Lord? Not refusing the will of God, not being reluctant, not being too distracted. But Lord, I want to sell my tractor and be totally sold out to you. As we reach this community for Jesus. May the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you His peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for...